My favorite time of life is right now when I get to explain scripture and know that somebody's benefiting from it. And that's my hope for you, that you are benefiting. And so our subject as our continues is that we're all in order to reach out. And so it isn't enough that we've got the goods, so to speak. We want to share them with the whole world. It's got really good news in it. To be all in means to be fully committed to a task or an endeavor without any reservations. So we're all in order to share our faith, the truths about Jesus and about God and about heaven and hell and how to live life successfully, etc. So when we talk about being all in, being preparation to reach out, we've already covered a whole lot of ground. For example, we talked about the necessity of a sincere and honest motive, which is motive is love, because they don't expect anything back. That's what love is like. It's choosing what is best for another person without personal profit as a reason for doing what we do. So we've learned about motive, and then we learned about having the right manner to reach out. We need to be Christ-like and represent him properly. Remember that scripture, now then ye are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, be reconciled to God. The idea here is that we are his fixed representatives. So motive is necessary, manner is necessary. And then we spent time on the medium. And then we spent time on the message. The medium, of course, is really important because we don't want the medium to contradict the message. And so in the famous Marshall McLuhan's book, The Medium is the Message. You won't believe a person who says, I am really happy, because the medium contradicts the message, right? So we have learned the motive, the manner, the medium, the message, and we went into the message on the necessity of making Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives. So now we come to part seven, and so just so you've got it on your screen, we're going to continue now with where we left off. And so we want to start then now to understand that reaching out with the gospel begins with understanding the importance of the gospel. Look at the scripture. He that winneth souls, this is a very smart thing to do. Reaching out is a really wise thing to do. And look at the scripture. And as the Amplified says, the fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is like a tree of life. And he who is wise captures human lives for God. Don't want you to miss that. Watch this now. He who is wise captures human lives for God. Just like a fisherman, he gathers and receives them for eternity. Now, you have to know this. There is a big difference between fishing for fish and fishing for men. The big difference between fishing for fish and fishing for men is this. When you fish for fish, you bring them from life unto death, their death. But when you're fishing for men, you bring them from death unto life. And that's why Jesus said, I want you to be fishers of men. It is wise, it is important that we reach others with the truth and nothing but the truth. In fact, the scripture goes on and says, if any of you err from the truth, and one converts him, look at this now, let him know that he that converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So nothing could be more important than understanding the task that's before us. We've talked about the motive, we've talked about the manner, the medium, and we've talked about the message. And so we want to continue today with an unusual approach, and it is this one. In understanding the importance, we want to be able to get people's attention. So this is where we're at. And you can tell from the diagram, we've got how to capture interest and how to produce work with God to get conviction, etc. And how to follow up is going to be a big one. But right now, we want to talk about how can you get the attention of people to tell them the good news of the gospel? How do you get attention? Number one, make sure you get these down in your notes. You get attention by giving attention. If people have people paying attention to them, they'll pay attention back. It's sort of like the law of reciprocity. Attention is the giving of heed to someone. It is not only giving heed, but it's considering or regarding with an earnest direction of the mind the condition of another person, taking specific notice of them. And so we have to understand that the best way to get attention is to give attention. So by giving attention, people, oh, somebody's paying attention to me, they give attention back. And that's an old law. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. It's called reciprocity. Whatever you give out comes back to you. Whatever you sow, you reap back. And so the problem most people have is nobody is really paying attention to them. Everybody's paying attention to themselves. That's the nature of narcissism. So look at this, because this is how people that we're trying to reach generally feel, unless they have found some cheap mechanism or other means of feeling happy about it. But look at this testimony. I looked on my right hand and I beheld, but there was no man. Look at it. There was no man that would know me. Nobody even cares about me. Refuge failed me. Look at this now. No man cared for my soul. This is a damaged, it's not a condition that people like to be in. But they ask the question, does anybody really care for me? Who does? Unless I want to get something out of it. Unless they want me to give them something back, they'll care for me. But that's not caring and that's not loving. If you give something to somebody with the expectation of getting something back, you haven't been kind. You've just been doing business. Make it an exchange. I'll do this if you do that. Genuine care of people's personhood, souls, minds, condition, scarce today. Because narcissism is everybody out for himself. And is only care about somebody else if in the care of somebody else I get something back out of the deal. But that's not Christian. In fact, this is interesting scripture. Paul said, and he said it this way, he said that our care for you in the sight of God might also appear to you. He's saying, I want you to know that I care about you. See, the danger today is we know how to show love, but the question is, do we love? We can show care, but do we really care? So when it comes to reaching out, those that we're trying to reach must be convinced of our sincerity. And we verify, prove that sincerity by paying attention to them. Not to get something out of the deal, because love is not like that. But you get attention to reach people by giving them attention. That's why the apostle said this, let's consider one another. Ooh, that's pretty novel almost, unless I'm trying to get something out of the deal. Let us consider one another, look at this, to provoke unto love and to good works. Kind of a different scenario, isn't it? In fact, one scripture goes on, and I want to show it to you. As we have opportunity, let's do good unto, guess what? Unto who? Everybody. We're not selective because we don't have any dog in the hunt, so to speak. We're not doing what we do to get something out of the deal. We're good to all men. No, especially those of the household of faith, because if we can get them strong, they in turn will start helping others. And that's what we want to happen. So the first way of getting attention is to give attention. The second way of getting the attention of people is to meet the needs of those that are needy. Here's what Jesus said. I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, had no place to stay and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. This is Jesus speaking. Now, something shocking is about to happen, because the disciples, hearing all this, answered back and said, when did we see you in this condition? Look at this. Jesus answered and said this, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least, the nobodies, you've done it unto me. So he basically taught us that when we meet other people's needs, we're really doing it in his name and for his benefit. And this is what he said. He said, if somebody's hungry, I want you to feed them. If they're thirsty, you give them something to drink. If they're lonely, befriend them. If they're poor, help them out. If you're sick, visit them. And what if they're in prison? Can you imagine that? I mean, most people, we think, and they're in prison, well, they deserve to be there, and may they rot in hell, is our attitude. But not with Jesus. Why does Jesus want us to meet the needs of the imprisoned? Methinks the answer is so they won't be in prison anymore. Because you can be in prison and you're in another prison, in prison. You're imprisoned, really. Mind, heart, just imprisoned. There are people who are in prison, but they're quite free. You should meet some of them. It's amazing. So they're lost and they're empty and they're lonely and they're discouraged and they're sitting in their prisons. And Jesus says, because the disciples said, hey, when were you in prison and we came to see you? And he said, as much as you did it to me, to them, you were doing it to me. See, when we reach out, we are doing it on behalf of the Lord. So we've already learned, haven't we? The hungry, the thirsty, the lonely. The lonely. He's going to give us some more of these. Damaged. Sometimes it's through their own fault. Sometimes it's not. Irrelevant, you see. But wherever they are, we go there, because one of the ways you get attention is by giving attention. And secondly, you get attention by meeting the needs of the needy. It's amazing. So they said, when do we see you in this condition? And Jesus gave us a stunning response. When you do it unto one of the least of these nobodies you think they are, you're really doing it from me, because if I were there, that's what I would be doing. And you're doing it for me. Meeting the needs of the needy. Another way of understanding this is that we are continuing the ministry of Jesus. So look what he says. This is his ministry. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath, now watch this, anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Why the poor? so they won't be poor anymore. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So wherever the hurting are, if Jesus were physically here, that's where he would be. He would be reaching out, touching as many people as he can to bring hope instead of despair and despair, to open their eyes so they might be, to set the captives free so they recover. And that's what he did. He was forever raising up the sick, visiting the poor, preaching to them, and setting them free. Setting them free. And freedom is not just a physical phenomena. It's a mental, spiritual condition that comes about when somebody in the name of Jesus reaches out. How do we get attention? By giving attention, by meeting the needs of the needy, by continuing to do just what Jesus did when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor," the opening of prison doors. And so that we actually get attention just the way Jesus did, meeting the needs, caring. Now, there's also another way to reach out, and that is to make an appointment with somebody to talk to them, about their soul. I call this thing winning souls by appointment. So watch the scripture, because Jesus left Judea, going to Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. Now, this has been preached on a lot. Some say he had to go through there geographically to get to where he was going. Others said he was going there because he had an appointment. And so he ends up in Samaria at this woman at the well. Remember that story? And with the woman at the well, in those days, instead of meeting at the bar, they didn't have a bar, they met at the well. That was where the hookers lined up, among other things. Some people were legitimately there to get water. But he sees this woman, and he asks for water for himself. And she says, "Why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew. We don't have anything to do with one another." But he needed to be there for her. She said, "Why should I give you a drink? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan." Well, he said to her, "You know, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink. Because I'm the real thirst quencher." Remember that? And so he gave her this everlasting water. And while they're talking about this, she confesses. She said, 5 husbands. The one she's living with right now is not her husband. And Jesus is having this discussion. He has an appointment with this woman at the well. And then look what happens. And upon this scene came his disciples, and they marveled that he talked with the woman. "What are you doing, Jesus? She's a Samaritan." The reason was he had an appointment. You can actually make an appointment with people, private, no spectators, to talk to them about them, about their need for forgiveness and cleansing. Why not sit down with your congressman who's voting the wrong way and tell him that you pray for him, you care about him, but you think he's in deep trouble because he's voting for all the baby killing in America? And Mr. Congressman, don't you know that someday God's going to hold you accountable for what you have done, decided, voted on? And if I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be here talking to you like this, but I care. make an appointment. And we win others by making an appointment. Now, another thing you can do to get attention of people is to ask thought-provoking questions. Jesus was forever doing that. In the Gospels, Jesus asked, this is just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 307 questions. Because when you ask the question, you tend to set the agenda for the discussion. And the questions can be ranged in such a fashion that it provokes attention. So I just chose a few of Jesus' questions. Here they are. He said, who do you think I am? Yeah, that was a good question. Do you believe? That was a good question. Will you be made whole? Do you really want recovery? Or do you want to stay in self-abuse the rest of your life? Will you be made whole? Why are you so afraid? Why are you afraid? Why do you doubt? Remember the Thomas story, don't you? Have you hardened your heart? Oh, all these are thought-provoking questions that will get attention. Will you also go away? He asked when the disciples were deserting the ship. What does it say in the law? What's the law say about this? One time he said, who touched me? Here's a good question he asks. Maybe even you and I today. Do you love me? Do you love me? And then we get attention by being able to answer questions. Look at this one. The scripture says, wisdom is better than strength. Yo. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that rules among fools. When you have the answers for people, they'll beat the path to your door to find out the answers to the burning questions of the brain. So we get attention so many ways, as we've mentioned. And now by being able to answer questions. Look at this. The scripture says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. That's what makes you able to reach out, because you have wisdom and you don't have to fight for it. In fact, here's an instruction. Hearken to my voice. I will give thee counsel. God shall be with you. Watch this now. But be now, let me watch this now. Watch the screen. Be thou for the people to Godward. This is reaching out. We reach out to people to move them Godward. And how does that happen? Well, because we're able to answer questions. Look at the next part of this verse. That thou mayest bring the causes, what are ever the, let's bring them to God, because he's really smart. He knows the answer to it all. Look at this now. And here's what you want to do. Thou shalt teach them ordinances, laws. You will show them the way wherein they must walk and the work they must do. How does this happen? How does this play? When you are able to answer questions, well, people will listen to you because of the wisdom you have, not because you outsmarted them, not because you outmuscled them, but because you become known as a person with answers. And then you can reach out with the gospel. Now, watch, this is important. By being proactive, don't sit back and wait for something to happen. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go, go. The first word here is, look at this. Go ye means a change of location. It means this is marching orders. You know, I love that meme that said, heaven is my home. I'm just here recruiting. That's what we're doing. We are proactive, going to as many people as possible and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Now, we want to go to the ready and willing. Now, watch this. Right now. This is not about a plan. I'm going to go someday. And this is, look at the scripture. Say ye not, there are 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest right now. Why is the now important? Let's not just plan some future date of getting attention to people, with people, to share the gospel. Let's do it immediately. Remember, procrastination has been said to be the thief of time. I heard it this way. Procrastination is robbery one moment after the other. So don't wait and say there's 4 months, because the scripture says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Everything in the kingdom must happen in the now. So what we've done so far, we've learned to be all in order to reach out. And what does that mean? It means giving full attention. It means having the right motive, the right manner, the right method, the right message, and being able to get attention. And what she'll cover next, hopefully, is not only how to get attention, but how to get interest. We will never reach people if we don't get their attention. We'll never keep their attention if we don't create interest. So that's what we're going to do. But what I don't want you to miss right now is that today is the day of salvation. Now, don't procrastinate. Don't put it off to tomorrow. What should be done today? So my question to you is, have you responded to so great salvation already? And if not, may today be the exact day when you get started. You can start as simple as a prayer right now to God who's listening. Can I tell you something really wonderful about God? He said this, he that comes to me, or she that comes to me, I will in no wise cast them out. I won't reject you. No longer are his arms outstretched on an old royal cross, spiked there by the cruel hatreds of mankind, but they're stretched out to you. And he's saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My way is easy. Come to him now. That's probably the best thing you could do.
Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.